This week our subject is the church. We're looking at the difference between the universal church and the local church. We'll pick up today where we did yesterday. We're going to back up a couple minutes so we can bring it into context. Looking at the difference between God's traditions and men's traditions.
Well, if it's a tradition of man, it is something that is not part of the Word of God. But if it's a tradition of God, which there are traditions of God, then we are to follow them. Matthew 15, verses 1-3. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Drop down to verse 8. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandment of men." So we see here there are times when religious people can follow doctrines of men. But let's look at the opposite over there in 2 Thessalonians. This is the sanction we have to follow God's tradition. Now, the word traditions and ordinances sometimes are interchangeable. I noticed that in the Greek strong concordance. So that's where we see these. I mentioned both words here. But in 2 Thessalonians, look at chapter 2. Paul is writing to those at Thessalonica, writing to the believers, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Instead of those traditions of men that are no good to us, in the sense of appealing to God and looking to honor Him, look at chapter 2, verse 15. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Paul, writing under the inspiration of God, has stated that the things that have been brought forth to you by word or epistle. We see the spoken word through the people that God chose to give out the word here in the church, the apostolic age, such as Paul and those, as the word of God was being recorded. And then the epistles that were in the inspired canon of scripture we see here. These things follow the traditions mentioned in by word or our epistle. So what a difference between traditions of men and traditions of God. We follow the traditions of God. Now the reason I wanted to lay that down is because I wanted to mention 1 Corinthians 11, if you would. We see here, as in contrast to what we already have looked at, the traditions of following ordinances to be saved, they are vanities in Colossians 2. But once you are saved by Christ, and you're in the universal church, and you come into the local church, you've been received into the local church, we see there that there are ordinances not to be saved, not to keep you saved, but for obedience. Obedience, that is, things that honor the Lord. Notice with me, we have in this same chapter 11, it mentions the Lord's Supper. We see also baptism is mentioned. And really, most Christians have no problem with baptism and the Lord's Supper. Most of the time, people at least accept it, if they follow it or not, at least accept it. But here's something mentioned. It's rather interesting. Look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. Remember, ordinances is also the word tradition sometimes in the Greek. 1 Corinthians 11 and 2. Paul's writing, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep these traditions or ordinances as I delivered them to you." And what we have after this is speaking of the veiling of the women in a public gathering of the Lord's people. So we see here this is a tradition or ordinance from God. It's not a matter of something that a man just come up with and said, "Let's do this." And just quickly, without going through the passage, there are three glories mentioned in this passage and two coverings. And when you take three from two, there's one. The one glory that should be exposed is the glory of God. That's why we see the significance of man's glory and woman's glory both being covered. But just to give a little background, Paul, as he opened this very book up, he says that he was writing to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. So this was not just a letter to those at Corinth. So we, in the same church age as they were in, from Pentecost to Rapture, see this instruction for ourselves. Now, let's move on to number 3. We see a difference here as well, that in the universal church, number 3 on the outline, we have come into the universal church, we've been saved by faith in Christ alone, we have eternal security. If you are truly being born again as a child of God, you know, the accuser of the brethren, Satan, would like to have people confused, would like to bring doubts into your mind. Are you really saved? Could you be that slack and not devoted? And do you remember what you said this morning? These things Satan would want to bring to your mind, he would want you not to have any stability as a Christian, to be able to serve the Lord. You know, the scripture says, we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. So we have the one that is in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have eternal security for those who have been born again. Now, in contrast to those of us, wherever you are in this world, you have eternal security as far as your eternal destiny is concerned if you have come to Christ alone. But in contrast, in the local assembly, the security can be broken. Now, this doesn't mean your salvation is hindered, but as far as you being received into that local assembly, it can be hindered. 1 Corinthians, if you don't want to have time to turn there, perhaps we'll just mention, take this home with you and look over. 1 Corinthians 5 is speaking of someone in sin. And he spoke there, Paul, to those at Corinth, to put them out. They would refuse. They had refused to leave that sin. And for the very name of Christ, for the purity of Christ's testimony, sometimes it comes to that. And Lord willing, as it says in Matthew, if there's a problem with someone, go to them. And then take 2 or 3 if they won't listen. And then take it before the church. And we hope and pray that the situation will be ironed out so you won't have to have someone put out of the meeting. So for Christ's sake, we see, for his purity, that sometimes that security can be broken. What we mean by that is if someone is going to continually live in sin and say, well, I'm going to just sit here and just not really worry about things. I can sit here and I'm secure as can be. And it doesn't matter what I do when I walk out the building. The Lord is not honored in these things. But of course, any time there is discipline, it's in view that someday we'll have the restoration there. That's what happened in 1 and 2 Corinthians. We see repentance, and we see someone back in the fellowship. So let's now move to number 4. I found it interesting, while you're looking at number 4, I will mention that as far as security and eternal security, listened to a tape this week, and a brother was talking about how people today are talking about self-esteem and talking about, you know, you need better self-esteem. You know, what we really need as Christians is Christ-esteem. We put Christ first, then putting ourselves out, so to speak, putting Christ first, then we can rest in eternal security for our own salvation. If we put self-esteem out and put Christ as the one that we're looking at, the person we're looking at, then it would also help in the local church. Would to God we wouldn't find ourselves in a problem where we'd have to be disciplined. If we don't have self-esteem, we got Christ-esteem. So that is the key right there. But anyway, number 4. In the universal church, there's no order, or there's not an organization. Note with me on that number 4, I put John 3:7. This was where Nicodemus, he was told by the Lord, and this was a teacher of the Jews. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he said, twice, except you be born again. He said, you will not see the kingdom of God, or you will not enter into the kingdom of God. He didn't say, well, Nicodemus, go join this organization, go join this over here, and then we'll see. He said, ye must be born again. Quick and to the point. So in the universal church, to come into the family of God, it's not a matter of joining a group or an organization. It's about being born again. Now in contrast, I'd like you to turn to this one, 1 Timothy. When it comes to the local church, there is order. Not for salvation, not to keep yourself saved, but to honor the Lord in obedience to His Word. So we see here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 15. Paul is writing here in what is called the pastoral epistles, Titus and 1st, 2nd Timothy, gives a lot of good instruction on church truth, just like 1st Corinthians did. Verse 15 says, as Paul is reading, 14, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So here we see that it is mentioned that there is a certain behavior. There's a way we ought to behave. There's an order. And we search out the New Testament to find in the appropriate places where the church order is spoken of. And here's a big key. So often, as we'll see in our next point, we'll see that people take things from the universal church and passages pertaining to the universal church and lump it over here to the local church, and that's where we see confusion. That is one reason I wanted to speak on this. In close connection, look at number 5 on the outline. You see, number 5 says, in the universal church, as far as everybody in the world is saved, there's gender equality. Man and woman, equal. Galatians 3, if you look there later, it speaks of how Jew or Gentile, man or woman, bond or free, we're equal in Christ. We all have the same destiny. We know that new heaven and new earth is before us. We know the rapture is for all of us, either being risen from the grave or taken as alive. We know the Bema Seat is a responsibility before all of us in the universal church. The marriage supper of the Lamb stands before all of us, that glorious time for all of us in the universal church. It's not just for these rams, or it's going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's for all of us in the world that know Christ as our Savior. We all will be able to say, as in 1 John, we shall see Him as He is. Praise God for that. Everyone that is saved. Everyone in the universal church. And also, as we start off in Ephesians, I can't help but here's a couple of great things we have. Man, woman, whatever, if you're in the body of Christ, it says you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And also it says in the next chapter of Ephesians 2, it says we have been seated in the heavenly. Two great positional truths. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. We are seated in the heavenly. When anyone would say, well, I don't have anything to do with fundamental Christianity, they're too biased. Well, I would say, look at all the truths you have, man or woman, that you have now and to look forward to. Gender equality in the universal church. Well, contrast that while we're in Timothy, turn to chapter 2, just back one chapter from what you were looking at earlier. We see in the local church there are different roles because of God's order. Now, as we looked at 1 Corinthians 11 earlier, it spoke of Christ and man and woman, and we see order there.
We're going to have to stop there today. Lord willing, we'll pick up tomorrow and continue on looking at the difference between the universal church and the local church. This is Mike Moody along with Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles. Call us if you have any questions, 824-5525. This is the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. You could also write us at P.O. Box 689 in Ramshore if you have any questions.